The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish the work. Do you not say, 'In 4 months the harvest will be here'? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work." Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything I have done." When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Traveling from Judea to Galilee, Jesus had many options by which he could have gone. But he deliberately chooses to go through Samaria. He goes through Samaria because he has the bigger picture in mind. He knows this woman's need. He knows her countrymen's needs. And he knows by situating himself at this well, eventually a woman will come. The water well is biblically very significant. The fact that it's referenced as Jacob's well is meant to connect us to what happened in those years before, when Jacob met his wife Rachel at the well. It was Jacob who removed the stone from the well, giving her access to the water, symbolizing the spiritual life, the source of eternal life. And so it happens, Jesus is there, he's tired. But his fatigue does not frustrate the flow of love in his heart for this woman. He doesn't even worry about the protocol. He knows the protocol. The woman, how are you? You a man? You're a Jew? I'm a Samaritan? A woman? He's not worried about that. Give me something to drink. The woman is thirsty, but not just in this moment. She's always been thirsty. You and I are always thirsty for what? For the eternal life that God promises us. But he wants us to know we don't have to wait until we leave this life. It's available now. And this is how the dialogue unfolds. This woman is at this well at the noon hour. It's about noon. That's not the time that women go to the well for drawing water. They normally go early in the morning before the sun rises up, or in the evening as it gets cooler. She's obviously avoiding her peers. She's in a way. Jesus recognizes this. Their eyes meet. He gazes upon her. She sees his eyes. He's able to discern. Her journey has been a hard one. She has no pretenses about her own self-righteousness. She has no delusions. She's seeking direction. She's seeking answers, many of which she probably feels she has no hope of ever finding answers to. Jesus, fully aware of all of this, engages her. For just as she's thirsting for this water that he makes reference to, this living water, the water desires the thirsty. Jesus' thirst is quenched when those who are open to what he has to give receive. One of the other reasons why Jesus is tired is because he spent all night with Nicodemus, who wasn't open, coming under the cover of night, trying to find out about the reality of the kingdom. Jesus isn't so much interested in getting something from this woman as he is in giving and in enabling this woman. He wants something for her. She realizes this. Notice the progression of the conversation, how she addresses him. First, she hears him as a Jew. And as he goes, oh, you're the prophet. Oh, from there, the Savior, the Messiah. Reminds me of St. Teresa of Calcutta, Mother Teresa. She'd give out her business cards, and on the card would be, "The fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love. The fruit of love is service. The fruit of service is peace." That's the spiritual progression. It flows from one's experience. She's encountering Jesus at a time in which she's been living the majority of her life as someone trying to merely survive. Five husbands. And the one you're with now is not your husband. He knows the whole truth, but he's not using his power. He's not using his authority to do what? To oppress her or to abuse her. No, he wants to amplify his love for her, the whole world. This is the mission. This is the bigger picture. Jesus has come to do the work of the Father. And for those who recognize their need for God, for who else can put us back in right relationship with God other than God? How many of us right now, here we are, third Sunday of Lent. Do you remember your resolution for Lent? Or has that just gone away? Or have you even begun? Have I? Now is the time to be attentive, to renew. Renew your faith. Renew your hope in the one whom God has sent. He's greater than Jacob. He is the inheritor of the promise. He's the father of all the tribes. He is the long-awaited king. It's a kingdom in which this king desires to wed himself to his subjects. That's why he's asking her, go get your husband, go get him. She tells the truth. And that in itself excites the heart of Jesus. Just tell me the truth. Don't be like your first parents. Pointing finger. He's the one. Just come on. Talk to me. Plainly. Do you realize that of all of the accounts of the gospel, the one that we have here in this gospel of John is the most profound and clearly stated revelation of who Jesus is and what his mission is about? I am he. The one who is talking to you now. When she makes reference to the Messiah, the one who's to come into the world. Why would Jesus disclose such a revelation to someone so insignificant? Because she wasn't insignificant to him. That's the paradox. The greater the sinner, the greater the desire of the lover who's come to set us free. We heard in the opening hymn, here among you I have found the Savior of the world. A catechumen in our midst, one who's journeying, one who, like all of us, has always been thirsty, not simply to have our thirst quenched from water that we draw from the well of the earth, or a Gatorade, or a Powerade, or a vitamin water, or whatever it is. No, the spirit, the soul. Like the deer yearns for the running stream, so my soul is athirst for you, my God. Psalm 63. We need to truly decide today. How do we hear Jesus? What is his word to us? Is it simply just a word that we hear? Oh, that was good today. Oh, that sounded good. And then we go back to the same old ho-hum. This woman, after encountering Jesus, she no longer was a survivor. She became a liver of life, a source of life. She's encountered the bridegroom. And what does the bride who receives the bridegroom, what do? They go and get the children. She's brought the whole village. That's the dynamic. That's the progression. That's the way it's supposed to go. And it's no longer based on her testimony that they have believed. They heard for themselves. He spent 2 days with them. Why not three? Because it's on the third day that the work is consummated. The new creation is established when he rises from the dead. In the meantime, he has to go everywhere. And since we as sinners can't lift ourselves up to God, God has to come down to us. Look at what he does. He puts himself in such a situation that he depends upon us to give him something to drink. What you've done for the least of your brother or sister, you've done for me. A divorcee, Samaritan, woman, who cares? It doesn't matter. Jesus has come for love. In slaking this woman's thirst with the living water of eternal life, he has whet her appetite for more. And there's always more with God. So today, just as it was then, The bridegroom comes, establishing himself in a very purposeful way, deliberately, fully aware of our needs. And he will ask, "Give me something to drink." In other words, "Will you marry me?" I don't know how you're going to answer. I'm still trying to figure out mine. But guess what? Ever since the beginning of creation, ever since the first human beings were on this earth, the engagement was set in motion. And albeit that engagement, this engagement to marriage has been a bit tense. It's become tense because of sin. It has not changed God's desire, God's heart for us. So what will it be? You'll have to answer that for yourself. I can't do it for you. I can only do what the gospel allows me to do. Proclaim it in the hearing of those whose ears have been anointed to recognize the voice of the bridegroom. And upon hearing it, to assent full faith in what he has to say, but most especially in what he came to do, to reconcile the world to God in himself. God love you.